Dear Heavenly Father, as we now approach the Word of God, Father, I pray that Your people receive it and understand it. And Father, may they walk in light of it. For Father, You love Your people and You care for them. And You don't want them destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but You want them to bring victory into their life. While we're not only living here, but we can abound fruitfully to when we receive You there. So I ask that You anoint the minds and the ears of the people to hear. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, Father, guide my lips and guide my tongue today. Father, I don't want to preach, but only the redemption, the redemptive works that You before ordained that we should walk in them. So may Your people benefit this morning by what I have to share in Jesus' name. And Father, may they not receive it from a man, but as the Holy Spirit has imparted to us, let it be the oracles from the living God. Amen and amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll go to verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live, or should no longer, should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Now, I want you to underline this statement here. Who live should live no longer for themselves. Well, we could just camp right there and do our best to fulfill that, but many believers cannot fulfill that commission right there. As you grow in the Lord and begin to change in the way that you think and walk with people, you'll find that your challenge will be that you have to give up of yourself for the sake of somebody else. Now, is that easy? John Cook said, I guess the rest of you would. Huh? You don't want to talk about it. Hal doesn't want to talk about it. It's funny how this ticker tape goes off in our head for self-defense. Amen? Some people are just on the football field that way, defensive only. Never offensive, just defensive. And of course you have people like Hal that don't want to talk about it. This morning, I want to focus in on something concerning redemption. We started it last Sunday, and I want to focus in on it again this Sunday. It's amazing that when you talk to people about Christianity and about their commitment to Jesus, I'm shocked at how many people do not really understand what it means to be born again. You know, I thank God that He has chosen the perfect people in my life to teach me the way of salvation. I thank the Lord for that every day. I thank the Lord for certain people He'd put in my life to teach me wonderful things and wonderful truths. The thing is, there's a lot of so-called leaders out there that are not giving the truth of God's Word. And as a result, people are coming into the kingdom of God. They're being saved from spiritual death, but they have no insight as to how to live victoriously in the Lord. And they don't understand certain things as redemption. To redeem someone literally is a very interesting word. We use it very cheaply, and some of us pick up a lot of words and we use them very cheaply without really concentrating on the power and the meaning that are behind them. And notice here, he says, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now notice it says he died for them. He died for them. Do you know that if it was up to the Lord to produce redemption for every man, predicated on his works, predicated on his works. Now I want you to think about this. If he died predicated on his works, would he have died? Why? Why would he not have died if it was predicated on his works? Well, his works were perfect. So are you trying to tell me that if it was predicated on his works, he could not have died? Well, say it boldly. Okay, you're right. None of us would have been redeemed because he had to go to Calvary predicated on your works. Not his. You know what his works did? It brought him out. His works brought resurrection. Our works brought death. Isn't that interesting? You know what that's called? Salvation. Isn't that a good word? Salvation. And yet, that's simple truth. I know I've talked to a few of them. They don't know what I'm talking about. They'll sit there and they'll go off in their mind. Is that right? How can Jesus die on the cross predicated on his works? He couldn't. He had to go there because of you.
Right.
Now remember on a Wednesday night I gave this illustration that when we look at the cross and we see Jesus hanging on it, do you know that's from our perspective? That's from our viewpoint. But do you know what he's looking for from his viewpoint? He's looking to see all of us hanging on the cross. Not him. Because here it says that when he died for all, then all died. Isn't that interesting? And he died for all that those, now I want you to get a hold of this, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Isn't that interesting? So what is this verse predicated on? It's predicated on the reason he died. The reason that he died was because of your position, so that you would no longer live for yourself, but live for him. Do you know that we live according to resurrection power? Do you guys know that? Because we have been co-crucified with him. There it is. And yet it amazes me how many people, when they come into the kingdom of God, and they believe that they're born again, and have no concept of the death that they incurred. Are you guys here? Now, according to this, let's go on and read. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, how many of you have seen in movies and have been a part of life, and it seems like everyone goes to the graveyard to communicate with somebody there?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Do you know there's nobody there?
That is right. Amen.
I was watching a Western, Rooster Cogburn, whatever, with the patch on his eye. And he'd always go to the grave and talk to, was it his wife? He went to grave and starts talking to her and just carrying on a conversation like there's nobody there. Do you know religious people? That's what they do. They somehow think that they can win a conversation with God through the works of the flesh when Jesus declared it dead. You know, the blood of Jesus was shed for me way back on Calvary. Do you know what that blood represented? It represents your case. What do you mean? It me. Somebody said, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Well, are you pleading the blood for more of it? Or are you pleading your case through the shed blood? There's a difference. It was shed once for all. So you don't have to beg for any more blood. And guess what? The blood that Jesus spilled out on the ground, He didn't do it in vain. He spilled His blood for you. Why? Because His blood now represents the position that you've taken in shedding your blood. I never shed any blood. I know, that's what the Scripture says. Man hasn't shed His blood to sin like Christ did. But Jesus did it for you. When I was watching the movie The Passion, it was very interesting how all that blood, and she sopped it up, His mother sopped it up. Boy, that movie glorified Christ. I'm telling you, that was a powerful movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Oh, but it's so gross. Well, you're going to see it in eternity anyway. But listen, when she sopped that blood up, it's the blood of mankind that was laid on Christ for your redemption. To buy you out. Not only for believers, but for unbelievers alike. For unbelievers alike. He shed His blood. Glory to God. And yet, they'll turn around and live their life in disagreement with the Word of God. They interpret it differently. Every time you get into the Word of God to interpret it, it literally means put yourself to death and live resurrection life. And that's what Paul said. Not that I've attained to it, but I strive for the mastery of it. I go hard after to meet the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Because I want to apprehend, everything that He has given Himself for me for. What a heart Paul had. And you know how he got that heart? Prayer. He prayed that heart on his life. Now, we as believers, when we look at this, we don't think these scriptures have power, but they're very powerful. Matter of fact, the first time Kenneth Hagin had started sharing the present day ministry of Jesus and went to this passage here, I was stunned. I didn't know I died. Why? Because I was still walking around. I didn't know I was a dead man. Well, I'm not physically dead, but I have been reckoned dead in the mind of God. Now, this will help you in understanding how to be led by the Spirit versus how to walk in the Spirit, which we're teaching Wednesday night. If you're not going to be here Wednesday night, you're going to miss a powerful revelation out of Hebrews. But I'm going to tell you something. I know what it means now to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Now notice this. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him no longer. What is he talking about? Talks about something happening. It's talking about someone going to the grave who no longer lives, and so therefore there's a new existence. A whole new existence. You know something? When you go to the grave, unless you get raptured, but when you go to the grave, do you know you're going to have a whole new, different existence? You're either going to be down where the cooker is, or you're going to be up there playing a harp. But you're going to have an existence, I guarantee you, because you are not a corruptible being in the spirit. In the flesh you are, but not in the spirit.
Amen.
So, when you pass from this body of flesh into that afterlife, you're going to still have existence. And notice what he says. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. Why? Because it's a whole new way of thinking. A complete, whole, new way of thinking. And yet we don't want to change the way we think. We want to receive our salvation, but we want to go on thinking and acting and talking and doing, not according to us giving up ourselves, but according to what? According to the kingdom of God. Well, it depends. It depends how dedicated you are. You know, Maureen Huffman's husband shared something that was so powerful. He had a vision, and it was powerful. It was from the Lord. He said he saw this crack in the earth. This crack, this fault. And he saw believers walking this fault. And they had one foot on one side and one foot on the other, and they just kept walking. And all of a sudden, the fault got a little wider. And so they were getting a little wider in their walk. And then the fault got to the point where they couldn't straddle it like this. They were jumping from one side to the next until it got wider and they couldn't jump. It was too impossible. Unless they got a real good run at it and then they leaped over it. But eventually it got so wide you couldn't cross over. That's what happens to people's lives. They start walking the fault line, and the next thing you know, the fault line don't stay where it's going to be a little line, but when you're walking with Jesus, that is a very narrow, straight line.
Amen.
It doesn't widen. For the path of the righteous is very narrow. It's only one way. But the way to the wicked gets broad. To the point you can't jump from one side to the next. You're going to have to make a decision before you get to that widening point what side you're going to want to live on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
The word redemption means literally to purchase back or to buy back. Now, notice what he goes on to say. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of condemnation. Oh, I'm sorry. I that was a church word. A ministry of reconciliation, to buy back. You've been bought back. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. It means to what? To change from enmity to friendship. I can't stand old condemnation preaching. And anybody that preaches that condemnation junk, they don't know the redemption. All they're doing is they're viewing it from their own faults. Not from being a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. Why are you still doing the things that the old man did? Why don't you go do the things the new man does? It ain't a message of condemnation. Yet some ministers preach the gospel in such a way that God's looking to get you out quicker than put you in. Now, we talked last Sunday morning about memory boxes, file cabinets. I got news for you. When you got born again, you got a new file cabinet.
Amen.
You know what's in it? Nothing. Except the work of Christ. When you go to his file cabinet, you go through them files and you'll find that the the new life that you have in Him now has a different way of living. And so when you open up that file cabinet, you go, I don't understand this. And then you go to a next file folder. I don't understand this. And then you go to another folder. Wow. You know what? It's so unrelatable to the natural man. It's weird. So when you preach something that has a whole different way of living to it, people look at you like, would you come down on my level? Would you just come down a little bit lower so I can understand what you're saying? Well, you can't get low enough because the spiritual man can't be comprehended by the natural man, and the natural man cannot dissect spiritual things. It takes a spiritual man to be the critic of spiritual things. That's why we were given a new language when we get born again, but it's up to us to receive that language and to release it from our inner man. It's called praying in tongues. We got to have a spiritual communication going on. Why? To leave the nutcase that's on the outside out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Sure do. I'm not going there. Somebody says, I believe that you don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. Well, then how do you know you're filled? Well, because the Bible says that you can receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. So you got the Holy Spirit when you get born again. It doesn't say anything about tongues, really. If you know Scripture like I know it, you love to take them there. You know what speaking in tongues? It's an act of your will to override the outer man's way of thinking.
Yes.
For spiritual growth.
Yeah.
The decision has to be yours, not God's. Everything about you has to be your decision, not God. Oh, but God is sovereign. Yes, He is. He's so sovereign, He gave you right to choose your destiny. That's His sovereignty. You have a right to choose your destiny. Why? Because the right to choose your destiny is how He's going to judge mankind. Because they're not going to stand before Him and have an argument with God. Because God's going to sit there and say, oh, you didn't smoke Lucky Strikes, huh? Didn't drink no wine? Wow, you have a case here. No, God's going to say, well, my son took care of all that sin junk so you wouldn't be judged by it. Well, then why are you judging me? The life that you've chose to live by.
Mm-hmm.
What life was that? Your outer man. I preached salvation to you. Look, here's the book of life. And you're not written in it. Because I sent someone to you to preach the gospel, and you refused it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. Oh. Well, here's what he said. Do you know when you preach to somebody and they reject salvation, do you know that you become a part of their history?
That's right.
You're written in their history book.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that guy, when he had that cross and then that round thing around it with a line through it, you know, no smoking type of a sign and everything, I knew that I wanted to be a part of that man's history, and I went up to him and I confronted him. Do you have a problem with Christianity? No, just organized religion. I preach back to him. I don't live organized religion either. I live a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you following me? I wanted to be written as an indictment to a part of his life of the love of God for that man.
Amen.
And so everything that he stood for, I undermined. Because God is not the God of organized religion.
Amen.
He is the God of life. He's the God of the Redeemer. He's the guy who redeems your life so you have a right to your eternal destiny. And I shared that with him. You have a right to your eternal destiny. Well, he looked at me like, what does that mean? Well, he's not spiritual conscious. Are you following me? He doesn't know that he's an eternal being. But I wanted to plant some seed in him. Well, you know, I got to thinking about it walking away, and I got to thinking about some more things, so I turned around and I was going to go back to him. Man, he went right back in that Starbucks room back there, so evidently he worked at Starbucks, and I said, he did that on purpose. So you have this new file cabinet that's yours, and in it, the only thing that's filed in there is what God has made you as to being a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have a start there. If you went down to your personal life and you opened that file up, you would find that it doesn't have any history in it yet. Why? Because your life has just become, you just come out of the womb. Are you following me? So that file will fill up, but it'll take a process of time to fill it up. Now here's what makes it so frustrating with many believers. They come into the kingdom of God and don't realize they've been put to death when they accepted Jesus as their Savior. They were put to death. I didn't know that until I was taught that. I died. Well, who died? You know, if a man would take up his cross and follow me. You know what that means? To take the position that Jesus has declared your physical man on the cross. Not his. Yours. You've been crucified. Somebody told me, I really agree with that. I think that if I was the only man on planet Earth that would receive him, he would still go to the cross. No. It's payment free. If no one would have received him, he'd have still gone to the cross. Because he's motivated without payment. You're the guy that thinks that you qualified him to go to that cross. Uh-uh. You didn't qualify him to go to that cross. He qualified himself to go to that cross for your sake. Now, you can live for yourself if you want to, but it's futile. The other two file cabinets I brought up was the file cabinets of our memory system. The good things that have happened to us. The victories and the accomplishments, the joys in life, happiness through the year. But the second file cabinet is just the opposite. It's filled with the hurts and pains of the past. All the negative things that has happened to us. Defeats, failures, negative people in our life that brought sadness and sorrow. Needless to say, people are more prone to go back to that second file cabinet than the first one. But thank God that when you get born again, those file cabinets, as far as God's concerned, no longer exist. You know, I heard this story. It was so powerful when I heard about it. They used Hitler as an example. And they told the story of the redeemed on the other side. And so just before Hitler commits suicide, he has second thoughts. And so that he, in the second thought, he said, maybe, and that's just a story, this is not true. How many of you follow me? Maybe Jesus Christ is the way, because he knew about Christ. He was raised by a Jewish stepfather. He knew about Jesus. He sought the spear of destiny. He sought for the nails that were actually driven in the hands of Christ from the cross. Anyway, so Hitler goes, you know what? I'm going to repent. I'm going to change the way I think about this. I'm going to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am so sorry. And he has a real true repentance. He really changes the way he thinks. And one of his guards go, pow! Shoots him dead. So the lieutenant comes up to the little private and says, why did you shoot him? I saw him hesitating a little bit, so I wanted to make sure I put him out of his misery. Do you know where Hitler would go? Go to heaven. Now here you are on heaven's side knowing Hitler. And you see him come and enter the gate. Now this is just a story. Don't go to the... Jad's preaching that Hitler made it. I do not think he made it. Anyway, he's walking in and you go, what is he doing here? You know what the Lord say? Who?
That's Hitler.
And the Lord said, well, isn't he the guy that died in the earth?
Yeah, but he's here.
Well, he's a new guy now. He doesn't have a history. He doesn't have a past. He left it there at planet Earth. Boy, doesn't that boggle your imagination about Hitler? Could that be possible? Well, what about the flood? Who did Jesus go and proclaim in Abraham's bosom the spirits that were disobedient when the ark was repaired? It was those families that got to the highest mountain they could get with all their little kids and everyone and begin to realize that Noah's preaching was correct. It is the judgments of God. And so they repented. They lost their physical life, but they repented in death. So Jesus went and made a proclamation. He didn't preach to him. He made a proclamation. He says, this is why you're here. You received me while you were yet alive on planet Earth. That's over in Peter. Now, it's very interesting. He wanted to make a point there. Instead of doing away with the filthiness of flesh, there's a new way of doing it now. Putting the flesh to death on the cross so that you would be a new man on the inside and resurrected to newness of life. Therefore, you don't longer look at the old man after the flesh. You look at him now according to the Spirit. So you don't have to go back to them file cabinets and look up for inner healing. When you get born again, good inner healing. You just have to throw away the file cabinets. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 4. And this is going to... I hope you guys get a hold of this because this is such good stuff. It doesn't mean I'm always happy with what I do. But when I make mistakes, I always go back to my new file cabinet. Okay. In Romans chapter 4... Oh, this is a good one. Notice verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found, are you ready? According to the flesh. You know what that means? He found something while he was still alive. He found something. He found something while he was still alive. According to the flesh, he found something. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole thesis of Romans chapter 4, but let's jump ahead and let's get to the crux of what he found. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God. If you have even there, scratch it out. That is why the translator put even there is beyond something. I'd like to get a hold of some of them guys. Even. Now, it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow. Abraham found out something according to the flesh. What? God calls things that do not exist as though they did. You know what it's called? Faith. Boop. Faith. Now, let's go on here. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Actually, having been said is the way it is in the Greek. Having been said. God said something to him. And he found out something according to the flesh that God speaks of things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he could become the father of many nations according to what has been said. So shall your descendants be. That's what God spoke to him. So shall your descendants be. Now, here's what he found according to the flesh. Are you ready? And not being weak in faith, he did consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old. The translators put on there, he did not, You know why they put not in there? Because they did not know what faith is. So they put not in there. I want you to put a line through it because it's not in any of the original. It's just not there. So let's read it according to who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Contrary to hope means a hope that he was seeing in the natural. What hope was he seeing in the natural? How are you going to have kids? Why? I'm 120 years old and I know where Sarah's womb is. Deader than a hammer. She laughed when she heard the Lord talking about having a relationship with her husband again. And she giggled. God's going to have to really do a work in me and him. We don't even have a desire to create kids. So God resurrected a lot there. A lot. And notice what he said. And not being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's. But he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was empowered by faith. What? That's what he found according to the flesh. What? That he could be empowered by faith. So that what was said would come to pass. I could almost rest my case right there. Now notice this. He didn't waver. He didn't differ. And being fully persuaded, convinced, but it's persuaded, that what he had promised, he was also able to do. To do. Boy, most of us, when we get a negative report right away, and then we go to the Bible, and it just seems like we cannot grasp a promise to override a hope that was given to us in the natural. We just can't seem to override that puppy. Well, it's because the grave is still got a voice. You got to learn that in the grave, you can't go back to the grave to get any hope out of that guy. He has no hope in him. He's made up of the physical man. He doesn't know anything beyond the senses. That is not what you're about. That is not what your life is about. He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It means literally to create a new existence with your mouth.
Amen.
That's literally what it means. Having been said. So Abraham had found something according to his faith. That contrary to what he saw in the natural, he had a different hope in the realm of the Spirit. According to what had been said. And he just went into agreement with God. Okay, if I'm going to be the father of many nations, I'll give it a go. 50 years later, they got a kid. Boy, that leaves McDonald out of the whole process. See, look at verse 18. He's saying here that most of us see salvation authored by Jesus, but not too many believers see the finishing part. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Romans 10. Are you guys getting something here?
Amen.
Romans 10. Lately, we have had some wonderful victories in our church. And it's because my thinking has changed. I no longer am going to call on God for a healing. I am going to stand on what He has already provided for me. I'm going to call what He has said as though it did exist when it had no existence. Now look at this. Romans 10, all the salvation chapter. Good, I'm glad we're here. We'll learn a few things here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now I want you to really put a note by that first verse. Put a note by that first verse. Put this next to it. Important. And let's go on and read. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The word knowledge here is epignosis. It means revelation knowledge. They have a zeal for God, but they don't have it according to the mind of God. They have it according to natural knowledge. They don't have it according to a revelation, but natural knowledge. And most churches foster the Word of God from a natural concept rather than a spiritual. You lead a young person to the Lord, you're doing them injustice if you don't get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't sit there and let them go, well, there's someone got saved and didn't have the baptism. No, you need the baptism right now. You need to speak in tongues and deal with the rest later. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Young people need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They need to pray in tongues. Why? This world, it's different, people. When I was a kid, it didn't have the influence it's got now. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things shall live by them. Now I want you to notice verse 6 and 7. This is very important. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. This is a way the righteousness of faith speaks. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What is these two verses saying? Well, it's telling us something very interesting. Would you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, 2, and hold your place here? We're coming right back here. And go to Hebrews chapter 2, or chapter 12, and look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. I like this. The originator is what it says in the Greek. The originator. The originator, and perfecter of our faith. Have you ever thought that God could perfect, bring His faith to maturity in you? A lot of you haven't let go of the first two file cabinets. So you could pick up the new one. We need that. Now notice this. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Now, this is a sin that does so easily beset all of us. We let somebody else's fault trip us up. Because that's what he goes into. But let's stop there. Notice, he is the originator and the perfecter of our faith. He's the author and finisher. Most Christians know him as author, but they don't know him as finisher. You know what finisher means? It means that when he did something for your redemption, he completed it and finished it and gave it to you. Why? Because he paid the price for it. Well, religious people, they always have to pay a price. And it's impossible to pay a price because Jesus then would have to dethrone himself. Are you following me? In order for your works to get on there, for you to work out your own salvation. And you can't do that. It's impossible. You can't never qualify it good enough. That's why you live resurrection life. You don't live the cross. You die at the cross and live resurrection. You die on the cross and live resurrection. It'd be helpful for you guys to see yourself on the cross instead of Jesus all the time. Because that's how Jesus views you. That's what Jesus wants to see. Can you imagine how Jesus deals with your life going to the graveyard all the time to talk to you? I brought you some flowers. Rip. That's how I'd have to talk. Rest in peace. That's what Rip. I didn't know that until one day I said, Rip. That's a funny thing for a tombstone. Somebody says it means rest in peace. I went, wow, what a revelation. But you know what? Rip should not be on a sinner's tombstone. Because they're not resting in peace. It should be writ. They're resting in torment. Now notice this. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. What are these two verses meaning? It means he is the author and finisher of our faith. But what does it say? The word is near you. You know what this word for word here is? It's not logos. It's rhema. Whenever the term rhema is used in the Word of God, it literally means what man is speaking.
That's right. Yeah.
Logos is what God speaks. Rhema is what you speak.
Yeah.
Logos is what God has said. Rhema is what you are doing that Abraham did. Having been said, then therefore I will be a father of many nations. Now notice this. That in your mouth, that is, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the word for the word of faith is rhema of faith which we preach. That if you confess homologion with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And most of the time when we go to these scriptures, we are going to them with the viewpoint that somebody needs to be saved, and this is how they are to be saved. They believe in their heart and say with their mouth. Most of us are saying, if we get them to say with their mouth and we overlook, do they really believe it in their heart? You know what causes a person to really be saved? To believe it in their heart. Not just say it with their mouth. That's why you have a lot of people calling themselves Christians that are not truly born again. And if they're born again, why are they doing what they do? Because they're not really born again. They got head salvation and not a heart transformation. That's why Dean said, I never want to capitalize that when I got to heaven, I was shocked who didn't make it. It means he rubbed elbows with people he thought were saved. Because I asked him. Remember we talked about that conversation? Well, how far did they go? He said, man, I thought they were saved. I didn't question it. I didn't even know if they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. I just thought they were saved. And I knew, no use asking. Because if they weren't there, they didn't make it. And you know what else? He was shocked who was there. From the natural standpoint, he saw Hitler.
Yeah.
How in the world did this guy make it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it as a story. He didn't really see Hitler. How many even know what I'm talking about? Now, are you ready for this? The word saved, you will be saved, is a Greek word, sozo. Actually, in verse 10, it says, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Notice, saved and salvation, two different meanings. One is sozo, and the other is soteria. This is very interesting. One is a confession of the mouth, where the second one is a confession of the heart. Soteria.
Amen.
Ooh, is that so? Well, the word sozo literally means to rescue from danger, loss, or destruction. But it's very interesting how the Greek uses this word 54 times in the New Testament, and every time it's used, it has a specific meaning. Are you ready? 14 of them literally is a confession from diseases or demon possession or demons. Then 20 is from the rescue of physical life from peril or death. And then it's used 20 times for spiritual salvation. To be saved spiritually. If you were a Jew not converted and you read this, you would be shocked. Because this word used here in Romans 10, the emphasis is on to rescue from physical life. Now, why did Paul use that one there? Because the Jew thought their salvation could come through the law of flesh. Remember the guy by the pool of Bethesda? He wasn't born again. But he got healed on the position that Jesus held. Now, why can a sinner still do that? Because when he paid for salvation in the redemptive rites, he included the sinner right along with the saved. You know, it's very interesting in closing, a doctor, Dr. Honeysickle, Kenneth Hagin's doctor. Matter of fact, him and his wife were with us. Spilled some stuff on her coat. Remember that, Sue? We had to get it clean. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he was saying, you know what is so weird? He's saying, whenever they come to my office, I give them the option. They can either be divinely healed, or they can pay the price. He says, almost 100% of the time, the Christians wanted to pay the price for my services. He said it was always the sinner that got healed and rejoiced they didn't have to put no bucks up. Well, now what is that all about, people? It's talking about when God redeemed mankind, He redeemed it for all, not just the chosen few. Not those who were pre-written. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been set free. The thing that you have to do is shut those two file cabinets. Yes, I'm talking about even the good file cabinet. You need to get rid of it because you're supposed to know nothing according to the flesh. Because your happiness now is not predicated on anything of the past. Your happiness is predicated on the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that you've got to cling to, not future as a result of what you see in the natural. You can sure tell in the natural when somebody speaks something to you and it's horrible, you can sure tell right away. Well, Bill Moore, he had me on the phone here the other day, and he had to finally hang up on me because he couldn't shut up. He said, for 15 years the devil ran me around. He says, my eyes are open. Hallelujah. The Lord, all He'll do is He'll work with you until you get enough gumption about yourself to create your own destiny with the words out of your own mouth. What you want your salvation over. That's the problem with too many believers. Too many of them say something and turn around and speak contrary. Too many of us, we look at our faith in the manifestation rather than the receiving first. My cousin Vern called me. Some of you might have been here on a Sunday night. They had Patty, my cousin, come because she had this aneurysm in her brain for years. She's going to give her testimony on Sunday evening, by the way. Vernie wanted us to pray for her healing. And me, when I lay hands on people now, I don't ask Jesus to heal them. I say, Father, I thank you for Isaiah 53 belonging to me and the position that you purchase for her healing. And so I'm reaching out now, Jesus, and I'm going to, and this is how I prayed it over Patty. I am going to grab a hold of Isaiah 53 where it says, Himself took our infirmities and our diseases and carried them away. And you know where He carried them, people? He carried them off into His discipline. Not yours.
That's right.
Because when you read on there, He has provided mental healing for you because you're twisted and perverted in your thinking.
Amen.
It goes on to say, everything negative about us, we couldn't qualify for the redemptive rites, so Jesus had to do it all for us. And so when I laid hands on Patty, and I said, I thank you, Jesus, that you have provided a place for this aneurysm to go right into the disciplinary work of the Lord Jesus. He has provided for her. Whoop. And I looked at Patty and says, "You're healed, Patty." She said, "Oh, thank you very much." I get a phone call. It's my cousin Vern. Jan, it looks like we might have a miracle on our hands here. And I said to Vern, I said, "Vern, might have?" And he goes, "Yeah, we can't really say for sure yet because the doctors have not given us their report." You know what I wanted to say? But my doctor gave me a report already. He said, "Who has believed his report?" But I didn't say that to him. And I said, okay, well, we'll wait. No problem in waiting. So he calls me back a little. God's calling somebody here. So he calls me back. I forgot how much longer. He says, "Well, we have a confirmed miracle here." I love Vern. I'll tell you what. You cannot witness like that man witnesses. He is a witnesser. And I said, "Oh, so we do?" He says, "This is so powerful. I want to share it with your whole body." And I said, "What do you want to do with this Sunday?" No, he says, "We got to wait a couple of weeks." He says, "Get everything together and get my family back here." He said, "Well, we want to share it with your whole church." Well, she had this aneurysm in her brain, been there for a long time. And it started getting larger. And so they told her they're going to have to operate, but the chances are it might not come out of it. Because dealing with aneurysm, you know how tender that is? That's a very... And I said, "Well, Vernie, let's just believe God." And he says, "Yeah, that's what I'm up for. If that's God's will, then let's do it." And I said, "If that's God's will? That is God's will." But I didn't want to crucify him. I want God to show himself strong with people. Just because they got a negative, it doesn't... You know what? A sinner come off the street and get healed? He had a negative background. Yeah. Why did God heal him? To show his love to him. Not to prove he's omnipotent. No, to show his love. And so we got it set up. And I don't know if it's this tonight or next Sunday night. I'll have to check up on my calendar. I wrote it down, but oh well. If he shows up, I'll know that's tonight. In closing. It's only two, right? 1 John 3. Did you guys get something here? 1 John 3. Look at verse 8. "He who sins is of the devil." Now, in the Greek, this is called present continuing action. It's something that they're continuing to do. "For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God..." Oh, I like this. "For this purpose, the Son of God..." Woo! "...was manifested." The devil sinned from the beginning. "But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest." The Son of God was manifest. Don't you sit there and interpret, "Well, the reason God made the kid deaf is because to show his glory." Which one sinned? Was it the father or the mother or the kid? Jesus said, "Not but for the glory of God." He wasn't saying he made the kid deaf when he was born to prove that. And you know how many deaf kids were probably in existence around Jesus? The devil's the one that makes people deaf. Amen. Devil's the one that makes people blind. Notice this. "And for this purpose, the Son of God was man." Boy, I wish it right, just for a second, I wish I could turn into T.G. Jakes and just capitalize on that verse. He has a way of capitalizing on a certain statement in the verse. Drive it home. "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." I can't do it. I ain't T.G. Jakes. "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Yeah. That's Jan Butler. Oh, I like that. The word destroy literally is the work, the Greek word luo. It literally means to unravel or to remove from a person's walk all the things that's got them tied up with.
Yeah.
Means to loosen, to untie, and to let go.
Yeah.
Did you guys get something here?
Amen.
You're free. You're free.
Amen.
I'm free. Yeah, if you just let go of those two file cabinets. I can. It's my life. Yes, you can. I can. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Well, why are you holding on to something when you're dead? Jesus, put that today. You got another file cabinet right there on the ground. Pick that one up. Plunk. You guys got it. Father, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful people that have put up with me this morning. And Father, if they receive what I had to say, it's a putting up with you. And so, Father, may your people be blessed and may they see themselves as the redeemed. And Father, when that old man comes back to talk out of the grave, may they muzzle him good. May they stick the flowers in his mouth. Hallelujah. But Father, we are redeemed. We are set free. By the blood of the Lamb, we're redeemed. Hallelujah. Father, stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for your wonderful people. I thank you, Father, that Jerry got it, Father. Father, your Word is so perfect for all of us. The position we take is so perfect. Father, I wish I could shout this from the housetops, but you're making a way. You're providing a way for us to do it. We are going to reach our community in our area with this Word. We want to share with the whole body of Christ the great things which you have disclosed to us. Not that you haven't disclosed things to other churches, but you've disclosed something to us as a church that we need to also share with the other churches. Father, exalt us in this community. Exalt our Word in this area for others to benefit as well. As we benefit from them, may they benefit from us. So, Father, as we close this service, if there be anybody here that wants to be born again, we want to lay hands on them and bring them into the kingdom. If there be anybody that wants to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in that wonderful tongue that God gives our inner man, then we want to be the ones to lay hands on them and see you fill them to overflowing in Jesus' name. Father, if there's anybody here that has been out of fellowship with God and wants to restore that, we want to work with them and bring them back to that place they first had with Him. So with that said, when we dismiss a service, we want you to come up for prayer. And please, people, don't come up here and ask for me to counsel you. Please come up for a specific prayer, salvation, restoration, or physical healing. Because we taught about physical healing here. You've had the message today that all you have to do is reach out for the redemptive completed work for physical healing for us to pray for you physically. John Duclos will be glad to come up and lay hands on and pray for you. Then at the end, we have a hospitality service in the back. If you're new here and just visiting, or you've been visiting and would like to meet with me and ask questions or whatever, just feel free to go to that door in the back there, and the ushers will be glad to put you in there. Now I'll come and get to you as quick as I can. Well, with that said, Father, I thank you for the service this morning. I thank you for the Word of God. And as we dismiss your beautiful people, may they walk in victory today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.